support. For WMNF comes from our members and Creative Loafing in print every Thursday and online all the time at cltampa.com. Creative Loafing is now available on the mobile web, Facebook, and Twitter. Daily news and politics by Mitch Perry. New music every Monday and Tuesday. Area restaurants, bars, arts, galleries, events, and more at cltampa.com. I'm Duncan Strauss, really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which we'll chat with go-go singer and guitarist Jane Whelan, a longtime animal activist, about animal welfare, rescue organizations, and more, including Doggy Boogie, a forthcoming film she stars in, for which she also wrote the title song. In fact, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune, that one. This is Jane Whelan, indeed, with Doggy Boogie here on Talking Animals.
Dancing with dogs is all well and good, but sometimes a canine gets misunderstood, and sometimes a human gets lost on the way. But man or beast, it's true that every dog has its day. Let's boogie!
That's Jane Whelan with the title song from the forthcoming film, Doggy Boogie, a dance animal song. Jesus, into today's edition of Talking Animals, no less. My name is Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. In just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest. Yes, the same Jane Whelan. Singer, songwriter, guitarist of the Go-Go's. This summer they did a tour marking the 30th anniversary of their debut album, Beauty and the Beat. She's a longtime animal activist and lends her support to multiple animal rescues, including Muttville, a San Francisco-based organization dedicated to improving the lives of senior dogs. We'll discuss these and other topics when we speak with Jane Whelan in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner, which involves animal comedy. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a pair of tickets to see the fabulous Sandra Lerche, a fave of mine, and Fleas and others here at WMNF. He's performing next Wednesday, November 16th, at the Capitol Theater. I wish I were gone for that show. Also, later in the show, we'll speak briefly with Barbara Lopresti, who's spearheaded the effort for an anti-tethering ordinance in Hillsborough County. We sort of stumbled into an update on the ordinance in last week's show, but it's reaching a pivotal sort of final phase, so it seems, in the coming days. So I wanted to have Barbara tell us more precisely where things stand and how we can all help as this thing gets a final resolution. So right now, though, it's time for the Animal News and Announcements segment. A look at items of interest in animal news as well as announcements of local events on the horizon. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Our first item, well, it sort of follows up last week's show, where we had Harry Hayward, Natty Moss Bond, and Ronnie Elliott in the studio, and we were chatting and playing animal songs and all kinds of stuff, mostly to kind of call attention to, at that point, the forthcoming benefit for Harry Hayward that was last Sunday at Skipper's. Happy to report the benefit was a big success, and congratulations to all who participated, tons of people who helped, who attended, who donated, who bid on items. Really great, and still an opportunity to donate if you want to go to helphayward.com, because as we did touch on with Harry, he's facing a pretty gigantic medical bill. Sunday's event helps tremendously with that, but can never get too much dough to help out with those kinds of medical expenses. So again, you can go to helphayward.com if you want to still help Harry. It's H-A-Y, by the way, W-A-R-T. So, thank you one and all from the Harry Hayward camp and from us here Talking Animals. And again, you know, he was there. Various folks were also in studio with Amy and Jeannie and perhaps others that I might have missed. So, everybody sort of got involved in helping Harry. One thing we touched on also briefly last week, but it was sort of pending then. So just want to read a little bit of this release that subsequently came out. Measures that could see an end to elephants, lions, tigers, monkeys, and bears touring with circuses were unveiled last Wednesday at a press conference attended by Bob Barker, Georgia Fox, the Performing Animal Welfare Society, and Animal Defenders International. The Traveling Exotic Animal Protection Act, or TEPA, introduced by Representative Jim Moran, will restrict the use of exotic and non-domesticated animals in traveling circuses and exhibitions. Announcing the bill at a launch in the Rayburn Building, Representative Jim Moran stated, "Based upon the publicly available research and video and photographic evidence, it is clear that traveling circuses cannot provide the proper living conditions for these exotic animals. That is why this legislation is intended to target just the most egregious circumstances involving exotic and wild animals in traveling circuses. It is not intended to affect zoos, aquariums, horse racing rodeos, or permanent facilities where animals travel out for film, television, or advertising work. Keeping elephants in chains, confining wild animals like lions and tigers in small cages, and forcing them to perform unnatural tricks for the sole purpose of human amusement is increasingly difficult to justify the more we learn about these intelligent social creatures. This is the first bill to comprehensively tackle the use of all wild animals in circuses ever to be launched in the U.S. The bill will end the keeping of animals for extended periods in temporary facilities, the cruel training and control methods employed by circuses, and address public safety issues. It will not impact zoos or other static facilities with captive wildlife." So we'll keep a close eye on that one, of course. And let's see. I want to just hit a couple. I'm going to skip around here a little bit because we're have a good little comedy piece, and then we have Jane sitting here. But anyways, want to let you know that next Monday, or this coming Monday, really, I should say, November 14th at 6 p.m., Whole Foods Tampa is hosting author and plant strong activist Rip Esselstyn. As a triathlete and firefighter on a plant-based diet, Rip is on a mission to help America become plant strong for our health and the health of the planet. His book, The Engine 2 Diet, gives a realistic plan for transitioning from the sad diet to whole foods, plant-based lifestyle, complete with great recipes. Of course, he was also featured in Forks Over Knives, and which, of course, we featured here on Talking Animals back in May when the film was just out. So anyways, Rip will give a talk, and followed by Q&A and book signing. Again, that's Monday, November 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Whole Foods on North Dale Mabry Highway. And price could not be more reasonable, if you know what I mean, to attend this. And there's information on Facebook, which you can search for, or the website for Whole Foods Tampa. And we're going to come back hopefully later because we probably should move along here. But there's plenty of other stuff to tell you that we will get to, I'm sure, later. So right now, though, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Jim Gaffigan with a nice piece of Florida-specific comedy called I'm a Manatee on today's Comedy Corner. I'm talking animals.
My favorite animal is the manatee, the sea cow. The manatee is endangered with extinction, and I think it's because it's out of shape. It looks like a retired football player. You see the manatee on the Discovery Channel? It's always floating around like, I'm bloated. Too much pizza for me. The manatee is also called the sea cow. Sea cow, that sounds like an insult. It's almost as if the manatee was introduced to the ocean, the other animals were like, who's the new guy? The manatee was like, oh, hi, everyone, you can call me the manatee. Yeah, right, sea cow.
Name's manatee.
Sea cow, fat ass.
Quit it.
I'd love to see the manatee on a show like Ricky Lake. The manatee be sitting there like, Ricky, I'm here because I'm endangered. And then one of those mean people in the audience would offer up the advice, yeah, I want to say something to the sea pig. That sea cow, whatever. Sea pig, you a fat seal, you got to get yourself an education and a job. And he'd be like, I live in the ocean. Just so happen you live in the ocean because you ain't got no job. You got to get in Weight Watchers, some kind of program.
I have a layer of blubber to keep my body warm in the water.
Whatever, talk to the hand.
I don't have a hand.
What if a manatee was in the audience? They might laugh, but they'd be crying on the inside. It doesn't look like God tried that hard on the manatee, does it? He's like, all right, blood flip-flops. What the hell? Let's go with a goatee. You know what? I got a golf game. Throw this around Florida. It'll fit in. Hey, I'm from Florida. I don't think God plays golf.
That was Jim Gaffigan with a piece called I'm a Manatee, taken from his CD, Doing My Time. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Jane Whelan. Jane is, of course, a singer, songwriter, guitarist of a little band called The Go-Go's. Still, or again, a going concern. They toured this last summer to mark the 30th anniversary of Beauty and the Beat. Quite apart from that, though, Jane is a longtime animal activist working and speaking on behalf of a host of animal organizations and causes and rescues, including Muttville, San Francisco-based organization dedicated to improving the lives of senior dogs. And she's juggling a bunch of other projects and pursuits, all of which hopefully we'll find out in the coming moments here. So lots to cover, with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Jane Whelan to Talking Animals.
Everyone.
Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us on Talking Animals and getting up at not the, the greatest rock and roll hour of 8:15 to do so from San Francisco. Really appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to be here and talk about animals.
Great. So, you know, the songs we play in this program are all pretty much animal songs of one kind or another. And we opened today's show with Doggy Boogie, a really fun, peppy song. And the title song, of course, of the forthcoming film, Doggy Boogie, which you star in. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the movie.
Well, you know, like you said, it's called Doggy Boogie, and it is about competitive dog dancing. And it's a comedy, a family film. It's really a great film. I'm so happy to be part of it. It's a really good-looking film. It's very kind of Pee Wee's Playhouse, Wizard of Ozzy, kind of vibrant colors, and it's a fantasy. And I don't know. It was really fun to do a movie with dogs in it because I'm such a dog lover.
Right. So now, when will this movie kind of be out for us to see and enjoy ourselves?
Well, I'm going to be seeing it for the first time on Sunday. They're showing it to the cast and crew, so I'm very excited.
Oh, great!
And I imagine after that they're working on getting it out to the public. So. Probably maybe spring of next year or so.
Okay, great. Well, this is definitely a cool sneak preview that we got, and I'm sure you'll be excited to see the finished product yourself this weekend. That's cool.
Yeah.
So Jane, with your longstanding commitment and obvious passion for animals and animal causes, you must be approached constantly to speak on behalf of this organization, perform at that benefit, appear at this event. I mean, you can't possibly say yes to them all. I mean, how do you determine at this point which ones, you know, you'll say yes to? I mean, are certain issues more likely to draw your involvement, or how do you really kind of wade through what must be, again, just a constant barrage of requests?
Well, you're right about the requests, and it's not just animal groups. It's all kinds of groups for all kinds of things. And I try and do as much as I can, but, you know, I'm only one person.
Mm-hmm.
So, the thing that I've noticed over the years is that, in my opinion, the smaller, locally based organizations are the ones that get the most bang for their buck.
Mm.
In other words, if you like working for Muttville, which is something I've been doing since I moved here 2 years ago,
yeah,
they're so small that when you raise money for them, virtually all the money goes to helping animals, and they don't use money for corporate headquarters and advertisements and mailings and stuff like that. They actually use it to help animals. And over the years, that's sort of become my focus, is to work with groups where the money, you know, does the most.
Can have the biggest impact. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, I want to definitely talk to you a little bit more about Muffle in a moment. But well, first of all, let me just let folks know who might just be tuning in. This is Talking Animals. If you did just tune in, we're speaking with Jane Whelan, among many hats, of course, Go-Go's hat and animal activist hat, actress hat, comic book maven, and ordained minister hat, all of which hopefully we'll touch on. But if you'd like to join the conversation, ask Jane a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email dj@wmnf.org. So I perhaps should know this just because I, you know, was sort of around in Southern California when the Go-Go's kind of got launched or whatever, but how exactly did your animal activism begin? I mean, what sort of prompted it?
Well, I'd always been a crazy animal fiend. In fact, as a child, I always thought I was going to be a veterinarian, and then I actually became a Go-Go instead.
Okay, well.
But once the Go-Go's got some success, I knew that I wanted to start becoming an activist of some kind. And I don't remember which film it was, but I saw some horrific film on the treatment of animals. I think it was the treatment of animals in fur farms.
Mm.
And I was so outraged that I jumped right in, and I started going to protests. And in fact, my first protest I went to, I ended up going to jail over for 3 days. So that was exciting.
Wow, what a great way to launch your activist career.
Yeah. Well, I was serious.
Yeah.
And then I became part of PETA and worked with them for a long time. And as you know, they're sort of kind of a educational, more of an educational group. So trying to get the word out to people about, treating animals better and so on. So
sure.
Worked with them for a long time. And then God, oh, I've done so many things.
Right.
Then I actually had my own local animal rescue. I had a ranch when I was living in Southern California, and I had a friend that did animal rescue, and she needed a place to base her thing, so she moved into my ranch, and we ran it together, and that was a trip.
Oh, wow.
So for years, I had this ranch with all kinds of critters in it, not just dogs and cats, but donkeys and raccoons and lots of birds and squirrels. And, you know, she this woman, Pamela, she would take in anything, and it was a really great experience for me.
And how long did you do that, Jane?
I'm trying to think how long I was in that house. Probably like four or five years.
Okay, and then when you moved, did that mean?
I ended up moving down to San Diego County, and I became the manager of another rescue center, but this one was strictly exotic wildlife or wildlife. So we had in that place a bunch of rescued, we had bobcats and foxes, and we even had a mountain lion, and that was a really crazy experience too.
Wow.
We ended up with, you know, because you know how, and some coyotes, and most of them were either had been hurt in the wild and were never going to be well enough to be released, or the other thing about crazy people who think that they can keep wild animals as pets, and then, of course, they end up getting attacked by the animal. And
sure.
So we had a lot of those, and you know, that really breaks my heart when that happens. But at least these animals had a place where they didn't have to be put down.
Right, right.
So I did that, and then, you know, over the years, then I've just been involved with lots of local places, and I don't know. It's just me. And, oh, well, God, the other thing, I can't believe I forgot about that. I've been doing dog rescue out of my house for decades. And that, anyone who does dog rescue knows it's kind of this double-edged sword. It's really great because, you know, you're saving animals, but you always fall in love with the dogs. And a lot of times you get, you know, like an older one. It's hard. Some dogs are just really hard to adopt, and a lot of times you just end up keeping them forever.
Sure, yeah.
So then it goes from dog rescue to dog adoption.
Of course, all in one, yeah. One, all in your backyard, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So
right now, my house, I have four dogs. All of them are rescues from different places in the world.
And so are those like sort of permanent residents now, or one or more of those still ones you're trying to adopt out?
These are my babies.
Yeah, cool.
And I actually can't even do any dog rescue right now because I have so many dogs that I rescued.
Right, right. A full house, as it were. Yeah. So
but we all do what we can.
So for sure. Do. For sure. Well, gosh, just what you ran down there raised a few different questions. First of all, just to back up, because you mentioned PETA and your involvement. Yeah, it really does seem to go back a long way. In fact, I was getting ready to speak with you. I guess I didn't originally realize that the very first Rather Go Naked Than Wear Fur was the Go-Go's. I think that was the way that PETA launched that initial campaign. I think you guys were the very first ad in that campaign.
Actually, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but we were.
Oh, well, that's what they say on their website. So,
oh,
I mean,
you? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, well, then that's
I mean, because there was something posted when you guys were doing your reunion tour this summer that sort of acknowledged that was kind of celebrating it. But.
Yeah. That was a cool thing to be involved with.
Yeah. And then also, I was digging through my kind of kooky CD collection, and I found Tame Yourself, that CD that you and a bunch of other great artists made, I guess, sort of under the PETA auspices with a bunch of animal songs and activism songs, and including your one, Fur. So, so I guess I'm curious too, though, to know, you know, to what extent your view of PETA, you know, has changed, because it sounded like when you were describing it before, like, yeah, I used to sort of be involved with PETA, but by implication, at least maybe not as much these days, or?
Yeah, I'm not as, involved as much, and, you know, I wish them nothing but success and stuff,
mm-hmm.
But I just started getting to the point where I wanted to save animals, like a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
My effort definitely saves the animal. I know the animal I saved. I know where it is. I know it's alive. And PETA, it's more of a roundabout organization. It's more about educating the public and getting people to really think about their habits and the way we treat animals in this world. And that's really good and really important. But I just really, you know, when you hear that there's a dog in your local shelter that it's, that's about to be put down and it just is going to take someone to go over there and get it out.
Yeah.
Give it a few more weeks to find a home. That just calls to me more.
Right. Well, it just sounds like from what you've recounted a moment ago that, yeah, that really your emphasis and direct sort of passion is like, hey, hands on. I'm going to help these animals. Sometimes they're exotic. Sometimes they're dogs, whatever, and do what I can directly. And, yeah. Just seems like that's definitely for a number of years been kind of the way that you've just chosen to do it. So, so we did sort of touch briefly on Muttville, but, you seem to be kind of an unofficial ambassador of Muttville. So maybe tell us a little bit, if you would, more about, what Muttville is and what it does.
Well, Muttville is an organization local to San Francisco, which, like I said before, is where I live. Mm-hmm. And it's a nonprofit group, and they specialize in rescuing senior dogs. And, you know, as we all know, the problem with the animal shelters is that most people who are going for their first dog or who aren't real well-educated are always going to want a puppy or something, you know, very young and cute. And then you have all these older dogs that people dump for a variety of reasons, none of which are ever the dog's fault. And they just sort of languish there, and they have very little chance of getting out of a shelter once they're in there. So their mission is to create better lives, you know, for older dogs through rescue, and to also try and help the world realize that older dogs are just as valuable in our families and our communities as puppies are.
Sure. Yeah, well, it seems like just a really, you know, wonderful organization from what I've learned, you know, fairly recently about it. And again, the emphasis on the older dogs, like you say, I mean, those are the ones that, you know, people often walk right past. And, and then, you know, eventually something sort of dire can happen. So it's just so great that the Muttville mission, like you say, is to, you know, spring them, get them removed from any sort of ugly fate that might befall them, and then place them in a great home. So,
yeah.
And now, are some of the dogs living with you Muttville-related dogs, or at least senior dogs, or are they all kind of all of all stripes?
All my dogs I already had when I moved to San Francisco, but and they're kind of a motley crew. I have an 8-year-old retired racing greyhound who was, I mean, he was just a baby and was attacked by another dog on the track, and they were going to kill him, and luckily... Mm. Another group that I love, Greyhound Adoption Center, went in and got him out of that situation before he was put down. The whole thing of raising greyhounds, I mean, I guess probably your listeners probably know that 96% of them are killed. They have a very, the chance of a dog making it through his racing career are slim to none, and it's a terrible thing, and I hope that someday there will be no greyhound racing tracks, but in the meantime, group site Greyhound Adoption Center, get out as many as they can and find homes for them. So that's my Geordie. He's 8. And I have Peanut, who is a little, she's a little Italian greyhound, one of those little lap varieties. And I rescued her when I was living in Costa Rica, and she was in a really terrible situation where kind of a animal hoarder who just had hundreds of animals on their property, and they kind of went cuckoo and stopped caring for the animals. So there was kind of a community effort to get all the, well, the dogs anyways, placed. I think a lot of those animals didn't make it out of there. But anyway, that's where I got Peanut. And she was just a mess when I got her. Awful. But she's been with me for 9 years. And then I have the twins, Angus and Malcolm, who were... they're Chinese crested dogs. They're brothers from the same litter, and they had a lot of behavior problems, and they had been through 5 homes when I saw them online needing yet another new home, and I just knew that this is something that I could tackle because I've been had dogs my whole life and done rescue my whole life, and I've had Chinese crested dogs, so ended up with these two.
Yeah.
And so now they finally have a forever home, and they've been with me for three years now.
Wow, that what a great canine family there that you've assembled.
That's a little bit of everything. Like I would go from 8 pounds to 80 pounds.
Wow, so walks and other things must be quite an adventure. So
pretty crazy walking four dogs at once.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. My guest is Jane Whelan, and we're just sort of in the final few minutes of our conversation with her. So if you'd like to join that conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing dj@wmnf.org, we'll try to include you in the conversation as well. So Jane, I know, there's just so many other things going on. I mean, you seem like a supreme multitasker, near as I can tell with, I mean, all the different stuff you've got going. I mean, you know, just even, the dog and animal stuff is fairly, sweeping. But then, tell us a little bit about, becoming an ordained minister. And could just anyone be married by you, or do you have to have kind of a special, entree, or how does that work?
No. What happened was in California a few years ago, they made same-sex marriage legal, which was really an amazing time. And I have just tons and tons of gay friends, and I thought, God, how amazing would it be if I could be the minister and marry people? So I got my license, and then within months of making same-sex legal, they did that Proposition 8, which took away the right and then made it legally illegal to be same-sex married.
Yeah.
And which was, you know, a major disappointment and blow for equal rights for everybody. But I kept my license, and since then I marry people all over the country of any gender or persuasion that wants to have a non-religious kind of fun wedding is what I specialize in. I mean, I'm, you know, it's serious to a certain extent, but light-hearted in many ways.
So sure.
It's something I really love doing. I kind of determined that there's things about myself, like I like public speaking, I love a good party, I'm a born romantic, and I thought, well, you know, you'd be really good then.
That's
great.
Good
idea. So I kind of do it for fun and on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And if anyone is interested in being married by me, they can find me at janewheedland.com. And as long as you can figure out how to spell Whelan, it's easy to get to me.
Right. Well, I guess I should help for those curious who don't know. Maybe it's Weedlin. So it's janewheedland.com. And it's a great site with a bunch of other cool stuff. And again, sort of really, I guess at least tries to track all your activities. And I know another thing's coming up that maybe we should talk about because it is animal related as well is the Bow Wow Film Fest. I believe you're a judge at that. What is that? It sounds really interesting. And what are your duties as a judge involved?
Well, I'm actually, it's kind of this very festive all day event that's, taking part on, oh my gosh, November. Sorry, I have to look at my calendar. I'm so busy. Yeah, November 12th.
Mm-hmm.
It's a film festival featuring movies about dogs, all kinds of films, but they're also doing a contest that I'm going to be judging. It's a doggy parade, and I guess it's going to be best costume or something. Actually,
okay.
I'm not completely sure, but
well, it sounds fun, whatever it is, and that's taking place in San Francisco as well, I assume.
Yeah. San Francisco Bow Wow Film Festival.
Okay.
And it's an all-day, all-evening event, and you can come for part of it or all of it, and it's going to be a really crazy fun day. There's going to be lots of dogs there and lots of animal lovers, and it's a nice family event for everybody.
Cool. And one last thing, just in our last moment or so, Jane, just because I think this is really yet another interesting thing about the whole Jane Whelan multitasking, is tell us a little bit about the whole comic book Lady Robotica and the Simpsons thing, because I just think a lot of people are like, oh, my God, she does that too? How does she find the time?
People must think I'm crazy. I just, because the Gophers only work a few weeks or months out of the year, I have a lot of time to devote to other stuff, and so I've gotten involved in a lot of stuff, including my own comic book that I write with my writing partner Bill Morrison. And Bill Morrison is a comic book legend. He has written for The Simpsons and Futurama since they started, and we became friends about 4 years ago at a comic book convention that I was at. and he suggested we do a project together. So we came up with Lady Robotica, which is a comic book about me being turned into a cyborg superhero. And unlike most celebrity comics, I am totally hands-on. I am the writer of the comic, and I am part of the entire process. The only thing I don't do is the artwork, because I'm just a terrible artist. But
everything else, yeah.
Project close to my heart. I've written a bunch of music that goes along with the story in the comic books. And my dream is to launch a musical, a Lady Robotics musical. So,
oh, wow.
You know, just get somebody interested in that. That would be kind of my dream project. So
wow.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
In the meantime, people can find Lady Robotica. It's spelled with a K in the Robotica, not a C. You can buy digital. The print issues so far have sold out, but you can get a digital copy at comixology.com. So that's something. I wasn't a huge comic book fan growing up, but I was a sci-fi fan. And
Yeah. Now
since going to lots of conventions because of science fiction, I've kind of got dragged into the comic world, and it's really a lot of fun, and just another way for me to, you know, use my creative nutty brain.
Well, we appreciate that creative nutty brain, and Jan, we really appreciate you making the time to speak with us today on Talking Animals. And again, it's janewiedlin.com. Jane, J-A-N-E, and W-I-E. DLIN.com, and also Muttville to find out more about that, Muttville.org. And Jane, thanks again for joining us and all your great work and all the fun, cool stuff you've done, and of course all the amazing things you've done to help our animal friends over the years.
Thank you, Duncan. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Likewise. Thanks again.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
All right, I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. There'll be a prize, a pair of tickets to see the fabulous Sandra Lerche next Wednesday, November 16th, at the Capitol Theater. The first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal tune, or this version of this animal tune. In a moment, we'll speak with Barbara Lepresti about the anti-tethering ordinance pending for Hillsborough County. Right now, it's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals.
Puff the magic dragon who lived by the sea and frolicking the autumn mist in a land called Annalee. Little Jackie Paper loved the rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and all the fancy stuff. Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicking the autumn mist in a land called Annalee. Little Jackie Paper.
All right. I think when the answer is prominently sung, it's kind of a gimme. We will take some guesses off air as they come in. And, maybe we'll take one. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you name that animal too?
Yeah, are you talking about Puff the Magic Dragon?
That's exactly right! We try not to make them too difficult sometimes. Congratulations.
Going.
What is your first name, ma'am?
It's Anna.
Anna? Okay, cool. Well, I'm going to put you back on hold, and then I will get your information, but you have won tickets to see Sandra Lerche a week from tonight, Wednesday, November 16th at the Capitol Theater, and that's going to be a fantastic show. So.
That sounds awesome. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Thanks for listening, and well, like I say, we'll come back and get your information in just a moment.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right, so this is Talking Animals. I think we're going to get a few more news items and announcements in, and then we'll be speaking to Barbara shortly. So, kind of in a follow-up to the announced bill dealing with performing elephants, got this from a blog on the LA Times. Two high-profile animal rights groups are asking the governing board of the San Diego County Fair to cut ties with a company that brings elephants to the fair for children to ride. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals and Animal Defenders International want the fair to stop hiring Have Trunk Will Travel which has brought elephants to the annual fair in Del Mar for 27 years. The group's claim half the trunk will travel of Paris, California, regularly abuses its animals, an accusation the company denies. The fair, formerly known as the Del Mar Fair, quote, has no business being complicit in cruelty to animals or encouraging unsuspecting members of the public to patronize an abusive enterprise. The PETA Executive Vice President Tracy Ryman, Have Trunkle Travel has also provided elephant rides at the Orange County and Los Angeles County Fairs and the Santa Ana Zoo. And yeah, in my Southern California days, I lived just down the road a piece from the Orange County Fair where that was taking place, and just had to stop going. Because right when I walked in, at least the gate I came in, there were those elephants just walking all sort of bummed out in this circle while kids were plopped on their backs. So I know what they mean. Okay, let's see. The Animal Coalition of Tampa, the ACT Project Spayday, plans to fix its 10,000th community or feral cat at its monthly event on November 12th. This monthly program is staffed completely by volunteer lay people and veterinarians. Caregivers bring in feral cats in traps, which then get spayed or neutered, ear-tipped to identify them as feral and a rabies shot. Torrent storms, hurricane threats, and holidays, ACT Spay Day has never missed a single month. The first Spay Day was held January 14, 2002, and going strong ever since. So congrats to them, and again, you can find out more at actampa.org. Also, some of the cool kind of local event on the horizon. There will be a benefit for Big Cat Rescue, the Fun for All Ball, as it's called. That'll be Sunday, December 11th at Skipper's Smokehouse. The doors open at 3 p.m. The first band starts at 4, and there'll be raffles and live painting and other activities. Bands including Sunset Bridge, The Human Condition, Skull and Bone Band, and others. So you can find out more, surely, at the Big Cat Rescue website. And I think that's going to do it for now. We'll turn this up for a moment, and we'll be back with Barbara Lopresti to talk about the anti-tethering ordinance. It's Talking Animals. All right, let's welcome back to Talking Animals, Barbara Lopresti. Barbara, how are you?
Hi, Duncan. I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on your program once again.
Oh, absolutely. And again, as I said on our air and sort of said in my note to you, we sort of stumbled into a little bit of information about the ordinance last week, but I know this has been like an incredibly long, circuitous path, probably no more so than for you. But it sounds like we're heading to the finish line of some kind here. So maybe for people who, for one reason or another, maybe aren't that familiar, maybe you could tell, first of all, what an anti-tethering ordinance is generally and kind of what the key tenets are of the one that's sort of pending, and then what's happening in the coming days that we might sort of help out with in the final push here.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, an anti-tethering ordinance is a law that would add more protective language for those dogs that are chained up, particularly those dogs that are chained up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for their entire life. Other counties throughout the state of Florida have already enacted an anti-tethering ordinance. It's been in effect for several years, starting with Miami-Dade County.
Okay.
And it's proven to be very effective in reducing the number of dogs that are left to live their entire lives on a chain. It's also a public safety issue, first and foremost. That is something that is not my opinion, but has been demonstrated time and time again. When a dog is left outside on a chain 24/7, it becomes very fearful and it becomes very protective of its environment. So So the Center for Disease Control, the USDA, the ASPCA, the American Veterinary and Medical Association, all speaks out against the concerns regarding a tethered or chained dog. A couple of years ago, I did make the request to Animal Services and was denied at that time to push forward with an anti-tethering ordinance. But since that time, I've collected over 1,000 signatures from individuals in the community who would like to see more protective language for those dogs left outside on a chain. This issue is not only a public safety issue, but it's also a means to create a better community for all Hillsborough County residents. It will also reduce the number of nuisance calls that come into Animal Services. As some people may or may not know, Animal Services does not respond anymore to the nuisance call. So if you have a neighbor with a dog left outside 24/7 and that dog is continuously barking at all hours of the night, unfortunately, Animal Services does not have a tool right now that they can use to address that issue. So it's been in the hands of our Animal Advisory Board here in Hillsborough County for over a year and a half, and then it finally, after much opposition by several members of that board, it finally went to the commissioners. And the commissioners are now in the process of considering what that final language will be. They are looking at what all the other counties in the state of Florida and throughout the United States have already utilized, but they're also considering the suggestions of Animal Services and the Animal Advisory Board, which would be a different language, somewhat a newer language for Hillsborough County, which would contain many exceptions that concern me. So what I'm encouraging everyone to do at this point is to show up at the next commissioner's meeting. If they would like to speak on this issue, public comment is limited to 3 minutes, but every commissioner's meeting starts at 9 a.m. sharp, and it's held at the County Center Building, which is in downtown Tampa. And the actual address for that location is 601 East Kennedy Boulevard. Again, that's in downtown Tampa, and the zip code is 33602 for those using GPS. That meeting is Wednesday, November 16th, and there will be a most likely a final public hearing on December 7th at that same address. So if you can't make it out to the meeting, please, folks, contact your commissioners and let them know that you support an anti-tethering ordinance in Hillsborough County. But more importantly, the language should match what Sarasota County's put into effect, what Miami-Dade's put into effect, Escambia County, Pembroke Pines. We don't need to recreate or reinvent the wheel here in Hillsborough County. We don't need special exceptions for certain individuals and agricultural communities. We really need to put a strong, enforceable ordinance into effect for our county to make it a better place for all of us.
So, Barbara, if I could just what you said here to me raises a few questions, somewhat rhetorical, but I just think, again, for people listening who may or may not be as steeped in kind of what's happened in the pending ordinance as you are, first of all, why do you think, and, you know, probably, just why do you think it's taken this long, that it's been this hard of a slog to get to the point where we're finally now handing it off, and there obviously will be a resolution soon?
Why that is an excellent question, Duncan, because if you look at other counties like Sarasota, it only took them a couple of months to put this ordinance, which really is a no-brainer, into effect. Here in Hillsborough County, we have a few board members on the Animal Advisory Board. They are breeders, and they do not want the government interfering with their rights to their property. Currently, dogs are considered property under the law, and so there's been a lot of opposition that's come out from a select few individuals on that board, and it was held up for exactly a year and a half, just dissecting every single sentence of the ordinance, trying their efforts to try and see to it that this ordinance was delayed for as long as possible and was not put into effect.
Okay.
So, again, we're not reinventing the wheel. I'm just simply asking the commissioners of Hillsborough County to please consider what language has already been proven to work in other counties throughout Florida and throughout the United States.
Well, and also a couple other things. One on a related note, one of the emails that's come in, Barbara, is says Nancy Dively, a Tarpon Springs resident, helped bring forward the need for a tethering ordinance here in Tarpon. We passed the ordinance several years ago, and it is very effective. And that's from Robin Sanger, former commissioner, vice mayor of Tarpon Springs. And just again, I guess, as an example of just how sort of neighboring areas and counties in many cases already have this, and again didn't seem to have the kind of struggle that that's present in this case.
Yes, and you know, in an effort for those individuals that are truly interested in our community and animal welfare, I would strongly encourage them to begin attending the monthly Animal Advisory Board meetings. Each Animal Advisory Board member is selected, handpicked by a commissioner to represent Hillsborough County on issues pertaining to public safety and animal welfare. So if you attend these meetings, you see and you hear up close personal what is happening in our community. Unfortunately, the Animal Advisory Board is the only board meeting in Hillsborough County that is not televised. I've asked again and again for an answer to why that is the case, but I've yet to receive any response. We even here in Hillsborough County televised the cell tower committee, but we do not televise the Animal Advisory Board meetings that are held once a month.
So, Barbara, we just probably have less than a minute or so left here. So a couple quick things. One is if people who are hearing about this, or at least some of the broader issues maybe for the first time, but can't make it work-wise or otherwise next Wednesday at 9 a.m., is there a website, a Facebook page, somewhere else where they could go either to follow up some of the information that's been mentioned and or to get some help on how and where they could send some notes or contact the commissioners or others to sort of put their word in lieu of actually being there in person?
Yes, thank you, Duncan. They can go to the Hillsborough County website, which I believe that's hillsboroughcounty.org,
mm-hmm.
and they can look up the commissioners and contact all of the commissioners in regards to this issue via phone or through email.
Okay.
I have all that information, but it would be timely to give it out to you
sure.
at this point. But,
yeah,
I would encourage them to go to hillsboroughcounty.org, and then I think it's /VOCC, and you'll be able to see a list of all your commissioners
and contact information.
Information there.
Yeah, it's all laid out, I think, pretty simply once you get to that page.
And
yeah.
Most importantly, Duncan, we really need, I need a huge show of support, especially at that December 7th is likely going to be the public hearing, and that's when our commissioners will vote. So if they see an audience full of people in support of this issue, it might alter their vote. And I just beg and encourage everyone to come out, take the day off from work if you have to. This is a new law that could affect all of Hillsborough County and could really make a difference in the lives of the dogs that I see that are missing chunks of their neck because they've been on a chain for so long, the dogs that are, you know, safe from that kind of life. We really need to be their voice.
Okay, Barbara. So, is the meeting on December 7th the same location, presumably, as the one on the 16th and all these other previous ones have been?
Yes, at
okay.
downtown at the County Center Building, and that address is also available to everyone on the website.
Right, but again, that's 601 East Kennedy Boulevard, if I'm not mistaken, downtown
yes.
Tampa. Right,
yes.
And that's a 9 a.m. meeting on the 16th, and is it also a 9 a.m. meeting on December 7th?
Yes, and
okay.
If they come prior to 9 a.m., if they show up prior to 9 o'clock, they can sign in to make a public comment.
Okay, great. Well, Barbara, good luck. My God, you talk about the phrase working tirelessly. I think that couldn't apply to you more directly. So let's hope this all ends up with a good, strong ordinance. And thank you again for all your work.
Thank you so much, Duncan.
Thank you.
Love your show.
Oh, thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Bye-bye. All right, we have just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. We'll be back next Wednesday, November 16th, when our guest will be Paige Ulrey, a Seattle attorney and dog handler who's part of the pioneering program to bring dogs into the courtroom to help make children and others more comfortable when testifying about sexual assaults and other emotionally upsetting crimes. The use of courthouse dogs has since spread throughout many parts of the country. So we'll discuss all that next Wednesday on Talking Animals. I hope you'll join us then. I also hope you'll visit our website, talkinganimals.net, where we make available all sorts of information, as well as archives and podcasts of past Talking Animals programs. We also have a link to the Talking Animals Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. Talking Animals broadcast outreach consultant is Libby McKenna. My thanks to her. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Kind to others, be kind to yourself. Stay tuned for the fabulous Scott Elliott with the All Souls edition of It's the Music, airing next from noon to three. And but if you do want to stick with news and information, the Tom Hartman Show is starting up at noon on our digital channel. That's WMNF.org/the source. We're closing out today's show as always with an animal tune. This one also by Jane Wheedland. A measure of her long-standing commitment to animal rights. This is from an album that we just touched on briefly with Jane, that PETA put out 20 years ago. So she's been doing this and passionate about these things for many, many moons. Anyway, it's from a CD called Tame Yourself. This is Jane Wheedon with a song called Fur, taking us up to the NPR News, and then Scott Elliott and his great, great show right here on WMNF Tampa. We'll see you next Wednesday, 11 a.m., for Talking Animals. Thanks for listening. Take care. Goodbye.
I always said my love was a precious thing, worth a lot more than the presents you bring. Flowers are fine, a candy is so sweet, but your latest offering will put you back on the street.
Prime Minister George Papandreou is